do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. We waste so much of our lives seeking after food that perishes. We work for the stuff of this life, for things that we either do not need or which we will quickly discard, throw away. We fritter away our precious time with hollow pursuits, with empty and meaningless interests that lead us absolutely nowhere. We fear authentic relationships, relationships with others. And so we build barriers between ourselves and our sisters and brothers, between ourselves and our families, between ourselves and those whom God wishes us, calls us to speak with and relate to. The spiritual food that perishes leaves us hungry, empty, and always wanting more. But more of the same will never feed us. Not with what we need for true spiritual life. What we need is the real presence of Jesus Christ, the true bread of heaven that will endure forever. What we need is not more of the same, more of the empty buffet of this world, more of the wasted time and wasted space and wasted activities, more of the barriers, more of the junk food of this world. We don't need that. We've already feasted too much on that stuff. And it leaves us empty and wanting. It leaves us empty and starving. We wonder why the world is thirsting and hungering. We wonder why youth and children today are looking out and searching for the spiritual, the divine, the holy. Because what our culture provides is junk food. What we provide is meaningless. We go through the motions. We mouth words that we may not even believe. Or if we do believe them, we have so many loopholes that we can find our way out. I love you has become meaningless. I forgive you, except we'll hold a few things in reserve, a few problems, a few issues in reserve. I accept you, but only if you look and smell and act like me. We want you to be a part of us, but not too close. We want you to come just as I am. Remember that wonderful hymn, that wonderful song we used to hear it all the time in the Billy Graham Crusades? Just as I am, without one plea, below me. The church is majored in not as you are, but as we want you to be. Just as I am. Maybe good enough for Jesus, but it's not good enough for us. We've been feasting at a buffet that is bereft, empty, bankrupt, destitute of nourishing spiritual food. And we wonder why the world looks at us and says, "You have nothing for us. Where have we been feasting? How have we been spending our time? How have we been spending our money?" Give some thought to what are your priorities in life. If you look at where you spend your time and where you spend your money, you will know what your priority is. And for most of us, it's not the spiritual food that Christ provides. It's the stuff of this world. And I indict myself so frequently with that very statement, as I indict the Church Universal. And as we ourselves individually may indict ourselves. We go after that buffet that the world offers. with all the food that looks yummy, but is empty. It looks exciting, but does not fill. Where have we been feasting? Have we been feasting on the gifts of God's grace? Have we been rejoicing in the presence of Christ? Have we been consuming that wonderful, glorious, life-transforming presence of Jesus? Or have we been running from it in fear of what it may call us to do and be? Why are we here? In my previous church, I had a dear friend. Her name was Peggy. Peggy was the church secretary. She had a way, she's kind of like Paul. I think this is required of all church secretaries. She had a way of saying things that just kind of stuck you all the way down to the very core. Make you see and think. Peggy, a couple of months after I got there, was diagnosed with metastasized breast cancer, metastasized to her ovaries. Was given, at best, 3 months to live. They prescribed radical chemotherapy. And it was radical. And we've nearly lost her twice. But she hung on. She hung on tenaciously to life. She hung on tenaciously to her faith. She hung on tenaciously. Because as she put it, it was more important to live and see her grandchildren grow up, to live and be with her husband, to live and live and live in the family of God, the church. It was so important to her to be a part of us that she was willing to put up with those awful, destroying, nasty, stinking chemicals that they would shoot into her veins every week. Peggy's still with us. 8 years later, she undergoes maintenance chemotherapy once a month. An infusion of Taxotere once a month. It's a tiny little amount. But her body is so toxic, they say, that her sweat contains the chemical in high noxious amounts. I know, I've smelled it. Her husband has been burned in his fingertips by it. But she's still with them, worshiping with that church Sunday after Sunday, never missing. Unless the illness was just too bad to keep her away. Working in the church office day after day, putting up with the insanity, the frustrations. Every church has committees that disagree and refuse to send information. Every church has pastors that can be a little bit slow with its newsletter articles and all sorts of other things. Every church has its own frustrations. That church did too. She put up with it. Because she said it was more important to be feasting from the buffet of God's supply. To be feasting from God's riches. To be enjoying the presence of Christ and her sisters and brothers in church. To be nourished by the love of God. By being there. That was so important to her. She was willing to put up with the chemotherapies, the indignities, the pain, the fear, the unknowing. She's willing to put up with hospitalizations and tests in order to be with the body of Christ. I remember in tears one day asking her, "Don't you realize, don't you know that if you die, when you die, you'll be with Jesus, feasting eternally?" "I know." And she said, "I'm not afraid of that. But I want to see my grandkids grown. I want to be here still today. I have more to do and more to give and more to be." And so she was willing to put up with, as she aptly put it, the crap. She was feasting on the bread of heaven. She was feasting on the real presence of Jesus. She was feasting on Christ Jesus our Lord. I know that sounds awful and weird. Jesus' own words make us uncomfortable at times when he says, "I am the bread of heaven. Those who eat of me will never be hungry. Those who drink of me will never be thirsty." I know that it sounds weird, that it sounds gross when he says, "Eat me," literally, "consume me." What he's saying to us, fundamentally, is partake of my life, of my presence, of my strength. Because your life, your presence, and your strength is going to waste away and die and be useless. Whereas God's life, God's strength, God's presence, God's power is eternal, never ending, always filling. So receive me. Partake of me, the bread of heaven. Not the manna of this world. I mean, it's a gift of God too. The stuff of this life can be a gift of God too. But in truth, it will perish. Instead, eat that which endures. Receive that which endures. The very food of God, the very nourishment of Christ, his presence for us. She would come to the table of the Lord day after day, Sunday after Sunday, and partake and be present in worship week after week and month after month, worshiping, hearing the word proclaimed. Sometimes when I would come into the office Monday morning, she'd look at me and she'd say, "Greg, that sermon stank." "I come here to be filled. You didn't fill me." And I would gut it up and go to work again for the Sundays and then the Monday mornings when I would walk in and she would say, "Thank you. You filled me today." She would come to the table of the Lord and she would eat and partake of God's grace, and she would go to gatherings of the church, and she would go to parties, and she would go to Sunday school classes. She would be present. You sometimes dread it when she came down to walk in that hall. But she always would speak her mind honestly. She feasted at God's banquet. She's still feasting at God's banquet. She's not dead. No, she's not dead. She's still with us. She's feasting today, right now, well, about an hour, at God's banquet table. Are we? She has discovered that to live this life and to truly live the life that God has for us and for her,
she has to feast at God's banquet. Not at the banquet the world has, at God's. Where are we feasting? Where are you feasting? I want you to think today, especially as you approach the table of the Lord. And if you have something that you need to let go of, that's drawing you away from God's presence, that's drawing you away from the calling God has for you, I want you to just to deposit it here as you pick up that bread and as you dip it into that cup. I want you just to lay it here. Let go of it. Allow Christ to take it. Allow Christ to transform it so that you can feast at the banquet, at the buffet, at the dinner that Christ has for you. The feast on the grace of Jesus. Allow Christ to fill you, nourish you, and transform you. Make room. Make room in your heart, make room in your soul for Christ to feed you today. And if you're feeling tired and run down and weary, know that there is sustenance here for you. There is grace sufficient for you. There is food that endures for you here in our midst, in all that we do as the family of God. Come and partake of the bread of heaven and feast on the food, Christ Jesus our Lord, that endures.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.